Yeah, well, it is Groundhog Day in terms of the virus here in Australia. But having said that, we're still getting overseas some pretty impressive data coming through where they're recovering pretty well. And we had the US readings that came out last week, and it was really the one that came out right at the end with the non-farm payrolls, which is now very strong. So we had non-farm payrolls came out in the US for the month of July and beat expectations. The expectations are pretty optimistic to begin with. They thought there'd be 900,000 increase in non-farm payrolls. Came out at 943,000, and the previous month was revised up from 850,000 to 938,000. So back-to-back, really strong readings. And as a result of that, their unemployment rate came down more than expected, came down to 5.4% from 5.9%. And also average hourly earnings are picking up. I mean, a little bit of tension starting to build there in the labour market in terms of wages growth. And you can see it there where average hourly earnings now, rather than rising 0.3% for the month as expected, rose 0.4%. And that's pushed the annual rate of change up from 3.7% to 4%. So what you can say about that is that even though we keep on hearing from the Fed that they're going to be on hold, that there's still some uncertainties around this, they're going to keep strong support to the economy, not even thinking of a very near-term drop even in their bond purchases. It still can take a bit of time to do that. It's still reasonable to expect that at some stage in the next 6 to 9 months we'll hear from the Fed that it is tapering, and we'll be starting to give those hints that maybe not in 2022 but 2023 rates do start to increase in the United States. Meantime, we have businesses in the United States which are doing very well. They can reprice. They're getting volume of sales coming through because of the demand that's running through the economy, and they can lift their margins. And so profit growth is on a moonshot, and we're seeing that every reporting season. So you're getting that aspect, which is helping support some risk assets for the time being as well. One or two of the other figures that came out of the United States last week, we had the ISM, Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, and also the Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, both for the month of July. The Manufacturing Index is just starting to hover around that 60 now. It's 60 is a very high level for that index. It was at 60.6 the month before. There was some thinking it might get a bit higher than that. It didn't. It just came back a touch to 59.5, but still essentially a strong reading. The services sector, though, as the economy's opened up, has boomed. This one, and that accounts for 90% of the US economy. And the ISM on that has gone from 60.1, was expected to go to 60.4. It went to 64.1. So one of the highest readings we've ever seen for this survey. And so you've got both the lagging indicators through employment and you've got leading indicators through the services sector PMI, both saying that the US economy has got a lot of strength running ahead. This week out of the United States, we'll just get a reminder that it's going to be putting some pressure there into prices. There's some hope that through base effect, in other words, when you look at how low the CPI was going back to May and June last year, and then it started to lift as you went into July, that base effect might start to help to bring the annual rate of inflation down for the July reading that's coming out this week for July 2021. So the market expectation for the CPI when it comes out on Wednesday is that we'll get about a 0.5% headline reading for the CPI, 0.4% for the core reading. If that's where they fell, it would bring the annual rates off a touch. So you'd see the headline CPI year on year come down from 5.4% to 5.3, and the core would come down from 4.5 to 4.3. They're still very, very high, but starting to go in the opposite direction. This is the dip that the Fed's expecting. Of course, it will be something of a shock for the system if it doesn't do that, if we get upside surprises again. That's a possibility, because there are aspects inside the way in which the CPI is measured where, yeah, they may still be rising pretty strongly. And so that's where, you know, this figure may, you know, be an interesting one in terms of a pressure point potentially for people to focus on the Fed, and, you know, that, yeah, you know, it's not going to be staying easy forever. And it will be repeated on Thursday when we get the latest producer prices out of, you know, what's in the pipeline from factory gate in the United States. We get the July PPI and the core PPI reading. And again, the expectations on those are that month on month, they won't be as high as they were going back to June. In June, both those were up 1% month on month. They're expected to be only 0.6, well, I say only, it's still a pretty high reading, 0.6% month on month and 0.5% month on month for the core reading. If that's the way it falls, you've still got the headline PPI still rising a bit from 7.3% year on year to 7.4%. The core PPI would go sideways at 5.6% year on year. So just watching both those factory gate prices and also the CPI for the US as they come out later this week. As for data out of China, we had both the manufacturing PMI came out, cakes in services sector PMI came out, and the cakes in manufacturing PMI came back a touch to 50.3 from 51.3, just showing some signs of topping off a little bit on that one, but still reasonably good. The services sector PMI rose quite sharply to 54.9 from 50.3, so that's actually quite a strong reading for that indicator. Some caution on what might be happening in China, though. You know, obviously, we're getting COVID outbreaks again with the Delta variant in China, and they are, you know, sort of doing their best to cope with those. The strategy is different this time round. It's got back into Wuhan, you know, where basically COVID started, going all the way back to late 2019 into that first part of 2020. The response when it first went through Wuhan was to literally board up people's doors. This was a lockdown. It was a nail down. Basically, they literally sealed off people's apartments to keep them inside. That's what you call a strict lockdown. China's doing it differently this time around. And the version they've got through Wuhan is they're not doing lockdowns, they're just doing mass door-to-door vaccinations. The view is, you know, we're not going to try and lock this thing down to zero again. Basically, we're just going to vaccinate everybody. And China being China, they literally go door-to-door. You don't get a choice. You get vaccinated. That's the way in which China's dealing with the outbreak this time around. So it shouldn't have such a denting effect on Chinese economic growth as it did before. We had a little bit of data, we got a bit of data just over the course of the weekend, and that was their exports and imports came out for the most recent month of July. Still reasonably strong, but they are declining on a year-on-year basis. So we had July exports came out over the weekend, and that came back to 19.3% year-on-year. By any measure, that's still pretty strong, but you know, it's down from 32.2% year-on-year going back the month before. And imports up 28.1% year-on-year, a shade less than expected, but still, you know, sort of pretty healthy rises running through that. So trade still contributing to Chinese economic growth. And later today, we'll see their latest inflation figures. CPI is not causing too much concern. So the CPI, if anything, the year-on-year reading in July is going to come down to 0.8% from 1.1%. Producer prices are still pretty high in China, though, and there's an expectation that they were at 8.8% year-on-year. They're expected to stay up at 8.8% year-on-year for the most recent month. These are factory gate prices out of China, and of course, factory gate prices for China are basically factory gate prices for the rest of us, with a quirk. And the quirk is that the yuan's been rising, appreciating over the last month or two. And so that 8.8 translates to 10, 11 and 12% factory gate prices out of China for the rest of the world. And so, yeah, that's one of those factors which is just adding into inflation pressure in other countries as well. Australia last week, we had, the data's still relating to a time, before, only just before, some of the data's sort of almost picking up the beginnings of the lockdowns, but we had ANZ job ads came out, really didn't deteriorate much at all, and they only fell 0.5% for the most recent month, after being up 1.5%. So the job reductions through the lockdowns are still to show running through those numbers. We had June housing finance came out. For the first time, we had a little bit of a pullback. That was down 1.6% month on month, mostly led by owner-occupiers. The value of their loans was down by 2.5%. Nevertheless, even on down 1.6% for the month, the value of housing finance is still up 82.7% year-on-year. So it's still pretty strong as far as the year's concerned. Home building approvals are ticking their way down on a month-on-month basis. They fell 6.7% after being down 7.6%. This is largely because some of the incentives that come out for new home building are still up over 30% year-on-year. We also had retail trade. We've already seen the preliminary figure. It was down 1.8%. The preliminary stayed at that minus 1.8%. But we also had the quarterly real figure for Q2, and this rose by 0.8% after being down 0.5% in the first quarter. So this is still really pre-lockdowns, and you're still going to get a pretty strong Q2 reading for household consumption expenditure feeding into GDP when we see that number coming out in early September. Also, we had June international trade, and this is the part of the economy which is impervious to the problems we're having with lockdowns here. It's going ballistic into from strength to strength. The market had a very optimistic forecast of $10.45 billion surplus for 1 month. That was up from $9.7 billion the previous month. We beat that expectation. It came in very nearly just under 10.5 billion. Exports are up 4%, imports are up 1%. And so international trade is still a massive driver for economic growth here in Australia, and will continue to be so even into Q3 when domestic demand is taking a hit from the lockdowns. So we have got some offset running through the international trade side. We had the RBA, of course, last week several times. We had their meeting. No change in policy, including the quantitative easing expectations, where from September, they'll be reducing their purchases from 5 billion a day to 4 billion. And the reasons for it are that the RBA is still pretty optimistic. Basically, it accepts we're going to get a negative quarter for GDP in Q3. As we go increasingly through Q4, we'll start to see some rebounds coming through. And as we get further down the track, those rebounds are going to be pretty pronounced because we've had a lot of income support running through from the fiscal side again. And you can see it in the RBA's monetary policy statement forecasts, which again, they've revised lower just the very near term for growth, but certain parts of the MPS continue to be revised upwards. And that was the immediate past. When you go back to the previous monetary policy statement, the Reserve Bank thought that Q2 CPI, for example, was going to be 3.25% year on year. It turned out to be 3.8% year on year. So one thing that you note through the latest sets of forecasts are that inflation's been revised up by between 0.25 and 0.5 percentage point on an annual basis, all the way through the forecast period, going out to now the end of 2023. So it's above 2% through much of the forecast period now for the annual inflation rate. They've lifted wages growth through the forecast period too. It's getting into the twos rather than being in the ones where they had it before. And as for GDP growth, now it's an interesting one because the most recent past, you know, we won't see the Q2 GDP reading until we get to the beginning of December. And this one has been largely unaffected by, obviously, the various shutdowns. If you went back two monetary policy statements ago, they were forecasting 8% annual growth for that. By the time we got to the May monetary policy statement, they'd lifted that to 9.25% annual growth. And the latest one, they think it's now going to be 9.5% annual growth. So the immediate past has been revised upwards, and you've got a bit of a dent running through the next quarter running into the end of the year. And then what's really noticeable is that they've lifted their growth forecast for 2022 now, added about half to a percentage point to the growth forecast all the way through 2022. This is the rebound they expect once we get past this period of these periods of lockdowns. And so, the other interesting part, I suppose, about the RBA at the moment is it's saying, but we still don't expect to be doing anything with interest rates until 2024 at earliest. So, my expectation is that once we get past these periods of lockdowns, and one way or another we will, the lockdowns will start to contain these outbreaks in some parts, probably not in New South Wales, but in New South Wales the policy is changing, and it will be opening up. With the vaccination rate, and they're going to pump that for all they're worth over the course of the next few months. And starting to live with COVID in much the same way as 90% of the rest of the world is starting to live with COVID on higher vaccination rates. And so, that's the one way or another. We will be opening things up as we get through the fourth quarter running into the first quarter next year. And so that's certainly what the Reserve Bank expects too, and they've got that in their forecast. So it's difficult when you think about what this might mean for interest rates, because you've got one or two central banks which are getting a bit toey now. The Bank of England's starting to get a little bit toey about when it can push interest rates up. The Fed's on the edge of that. The RBNZ will be doing it very, very soon. As for the RBA, they want to see all this happening in this uncertain world before they think about lifting rates. But at some point in that second half of 2022, the expectations for higher rates are certainly going to be building, and actual interest rate increases are still on the cards for 2023. Just briefly on Europe, just for the data this week, we've got NAB business confidence, business conditions coming out. They'll be shot for July because, obviously, the lockdowns, they were at plus 11, plus 24, and they've come down from those. We've also got August Westpac consumer sentiment. It was at 1.5%, plus 1.5% going back to July. That'll come back a bit. But as for Europe, we're getting some pretty strong readings through Europe. What we got over this past week was manufacturing PMI, services sector PMI, up around the 60 mark for both of them. In fact, the manufacturing PMI is at 62.8 for July, and the services sector PMI went up from 58.3 to 59.8. Also, this pressure through factory gate prices, we had their June producer prices came out. It went up from 9.6% year-on-year, going back to May, to 10.2% year-on-year. So whether you're buying your stuff from Europe or China, you're double-digit now in terms of the price increases that are running through at factory gates out of those two key regions. We also had June retail sales came out, and some of the strongest readings anywhere in the world now out of Europe, you know, as they've opened up. The other thing I should mention is the British experiment with moving towards opening up after COVID-19. They're doing it on only 55% vaccination rate in the adult population. Initially, they had a little bit of a surge in COVID-19 and in hospital admissions and mortality. That's actually started to come down and stabilise. So at this stage, their experiment with opening up looks like a resounding success. So you know, that's something of a template for the rest of the world of you know, how you can live with this virus. Yes, you're going to get some deaths and you're going to get some hospitalizations out of it, but if you've got a reasonable proportion of the population vaccinated, you can live with this thing as if it's more like seasonal flu. And so that's the message that's coming through so far out of the British experiment with opening up. Europe this week, we have August Centex investor confidence coming out. It's going to be strong, up around a plus 29, was plus 29.8. ZEW economic sentiment's coming out. That was hugely strong, plus 61.2. It'll be up there again when we get the reading for this week. Industrial production, trade balance, again, some strong numbers coming through there. So Europe really picking up out of the blocks at the moment. And you've got, as I mentioned before, that strength running through the US too, and the numbers they've got starting to come through there. So it's still going to be an interesting week. You know, we've risk assets have still got quite a decent tailwind behind them. And even though we've got all sorts of different responses to what we should be doing with COVID-19 here in Australia, and we will get some dents to economic growth, there's reasons for optimism beyond that.